My dear friends, as we know from experience, there are two very enduring traits in children. First, they are very observant. Second, they are very candid or honest. The story is told of six-year-old Lucy, who went up to her grandfather, who was reading a newspaper. And very affectionately, she touched his cheeks, which were very rough and wrinkled. And Lucy said, "Grandpa, who made you?" And the grandpa replied, "Darling, God made me, but a long time ago." And then Lucy touched her own cheeks and said, "And Grandpa, who made me?" And the grandfather replied, "Darling, God made you as well, but a short time ago." And Lucy said, "Grandpa, I can see that God is getting better at it, isn't it?" That's the beauty of children. They're very observant and they're very candid, very honest. "This is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." My dear brothers and sisters, my message this evening can be framed in a few short sentences. We, though mortal, are destined for immortality, thanks to Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. We, though human and mortal, are destined for life, eternal life, after life. For all of us, there is life after life, thanks again to Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Thanks to Jesus, our home, our true home is in heaven. And from heaven will come Christ Jesus, our risen Lord, who will transfigure these wretched bodies of ours into copies of his glorious body. We, though human and imperfect, are destined for absolute perfection once we share in the glory and triumph of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. And that is the message of today's celebration, the Transfiguration of the Lord. Years ago, I remember reading a very interesting story about the famous producer-director Cecil B. DeMille. As all of you know, Cecil B. DeMille was the producer-director of The Ten Commandments, a prize-winning movie. And if you haven't seen it, I urge you to see it. It is absolutely fascinating, spellbinding. Well, one day, Cecil B. DeMille felt the need of recreation, relaxation, and he wanted to be alone. So he drove himself to a very distant lake. He parked his car, he got into a canoe, and he rowed the canoe into the very center of the lake. And then he stopped. Then he took out his favorite book and started reading. From the corner of his eye, Cecil B. DeMille noticed on the surface of the water, water beetles, skimming and playfully skimming the water like seasoned ice skaters. They were having a ball of a time. And so he returned to his book. And suddenly, without warning, one of the water beetles hopped out of the water, clung to the side of the canoe, and died. And Cecil B. DeMille couldn't believe his eyes to think that only a few minutes ago that water beetle was skimming the surface like a seasoned ice skater, and then it suddenly caught onto the side of the canoe and died. He returned to his book. After 3 hours, he wanted to check on the water beetle. So he looked at it, and what met his eyes astounded him. With the rays of the sun, the shell of that water beetle had dried. And then it burst open like a walnut. And out came a beautiful dragonfly. And the dragonfly kept hovering above his other water beetles, his one-time companions, as much as to say, "Look, fellas, look up at me. Today you're a water beetle, but one day you are going to be a dragonfly. But for that, you've got to pass through the experience of death." You need to die to the old pattern and assume one that is totally new. Through death, life is changed, not ended. My dear brothers and sisters, we all believe that death is fatal and final, and that is not true. For all of us, without exception, there is life after life. And Jesus has made it possible. Said Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me," and that is all of us, "the one who believes in me will live even though he dies." So we, though mortal, like the water beetle, are destined to die. But that will not be the end, but rather the beginning of a new end, a life of eternal bliss and everlasting happiness. On the 25th of October, I lost my mother. Providentially, she lived to be 100. I conducted the funeral, and I yet remember saying to my siblings who were in the very first bench, I said, "I want you to know that we haven't lost mother. We have now gained an intercessor and a friend in heaven. Mother was close to all of us in life. She will continue to be even closer after life. We loved her in life and she loved us in turn. She will continue to love and protect us from heaven above. And I'll be very honest with you, brothers and sisters, I have never missed my mother because I can sense her spiritual presence all around me. And every member of my family, one in Richmond and five in South Australia, all of them have experienced the presence and the power of my mother. It is as though her maternal arms have embraced us all, as much as to say, you are my children, and I will continue to care for you and love you and protect you and guide you." That is the reality of death for the Christian, the believer in the resurrection. Said Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though he dies." So we are mortal, but we are destined for immortality. And that is why the Apostle Paul leaves us in no doubt whatsoever when he said, "For us, our true home is in heaven. And from heaven will come Christ Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior, who will transfigure these wretched bodies of ours into copies of his glorious body. We will all one day share in the glory and triumph of Jesus, our risen Lord and triumphant Savior."